لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. My dear brothers, I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making it possible to meet with all of you and to share the benefit inshallah. The subject of today indeed is the subject of the hour, as they say, the causes of victory and defeat. Of course, it is obvious for the believer that the true victory comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, as he promised. He said in his book, the meaning of which, it is incumbent upon us that we give victory to the believers, to the faithful. And in another verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what could mean, we are bound to give victory to our messengers and to those who are faithful in this life, both in this life and in the day where the people will be resurrected, the day where nothing or no excuse will be beneficial for those who have done injustice, and to them there is none but curse and the severe punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made clear in his book who are those who deserve the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give victory for those who support him. Allah is most strong, most mighty. Those, meaning the ones who deserve the victory, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing them, is putting to us clearly their description. Those who, when we give them the authority on earth, they establish the prayers and give the zakat, they order the good and forbid the evil, and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belong the results of all matters. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly defines the most fundamental characteristics of those who deserve his victory. The first fundamental characteristic and the most important fundamental characteristic is the one which is implied in the first statement. Those who, upon giving them the authority on earth, what kind of authority is meant here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains this in another verse where he says, Allah have promised those who do good, the believers who do good, that he will give them the authority on earth, just like that he gave the authority to the ones before them. And he will make them he will make it possible for them to have the full authority according to their religion. He will establish their religion for them, the religion that he has pleased for them. And he will change their fear to security, provided that they worship me, not associating anyone with me in worship. So this is the meaning of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those whom we give authority, provided that they satisfy this most fundamental condition, that they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and do not associate any partner with him. So when one establishes this fundamental characteristic by making sure that all his actions, all his deeds, all his beliefs are sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are according to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when he makes sure that he does not associate any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way, then he has satisfied the most fundamental characteristic of those who deserve the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the second most important characteristic, and that is establishing the prayers. Establishing the prayers means to do them in the way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to perform them in the right manner according to the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make your prayer without missing any of its conditions, pillars or obligations, to make the prayer in a way that you benefit from it, to make the prayer in a way that you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make the prayer with supplication and with invocation in it. And the third characteristic, which is to give the zakat. Of course, the word zakat in Arabic means to purify. So zakat implies purification of one's self. When one gives zakat, he must give it in a way where his self is pure from misery, pure from hatred, and the zakat itself should lead to more purity of oneself. And anyone's zakat which does not lead to more purity, then he has not given the zakat in the right way. Just like making prayers without the full conditions does not mean you have established the prayer. Similarly, giving the zakat must be according to the conditions and must be for the same goal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, and that is to purify oneself, and also it must lead to purity amongst the Muslims in general. Those who are giving the zakat will be more loving for their brothers, will have more kindness and respect, and this will lead to the strengthening of the Muslim community. The fourth description is indeed one description that the Muslims nowadays miss the most. A lot of Muslims nowadays, unfortunately, miss even the first condition, that is worshipping Allah without associating any partners with Him. And actually, those do not deserve to be called Muslims in the first place, but that's what they call themselves, and yet they stick partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their worship one way or another, either by saying things which lead to shirk, or doing things which are shirk in themselves, or believing such beliefs which are shirk. And establishing the prayers is something which is also missed a lot by many Muslims. By most of the Muslims nowadays actually do not establish the prayers. Most of the Muslims nowadays make their prayers one way or another, but they do not establish the prayers as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have ordered, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ. This verse, which means you must preserve your prayers, you must protect your prayers, this verse was revealed at the time where the Muslims were talking to each other during the prayers. This was before making this forbidden in prayer. One would reply the salam during his prayer, and so on. So when this verse was revealed, protect your prayers, everyone stopped saying anything in salat which is not part of the salat. So a lot of Muslims nowadays, even though they make their prayers one way or another, but they are not establishing the prayer as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders. And similarly, when we speak about the zakat, but in the case of zakat, very few Muslims who give the zakat anyway. I mean, there are very few Muslims who just give the zakat even without fulfilling the conditions of giving the zakat. Most of the Muslims don't give the zakat, and this is one of the great crimes that the Muslims are doing nowadays by preventing the zakat. This is a great crime against Islam, and this is against crime against the faith. And when we speak about ordering the good and forbidding the evil, this is almost not existing amongst the Muslims, unfortunately. This is very rare amongst the Muslims, the ordering the good and forbidding the evil. This characteristic, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made this nation to be the best nation because of this characteristic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have described this nation to be the best when they have established this important job of the faithful, and that is to order the good and to forbid the evil. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have emphasized this duty so much by saying that the religion is nasiha, advice. He said it 3 times. The religion is advice. 3 times. Just like saying Al-Hajj Arafah. Hajj is Arafah, is standing in Arafah. To emphasize that this is the greatest pillar of Hajj. Also, nasiha, or giving the advice, ordering the good, forbidding the evil, because this is the advice that is meant. This is very important, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have emphasized it so much. Yet we find the Muslims nowadays far away from applying this important duty that is incumbent upon them. Of course, giving the advice or ordering the good and forbidding the evil is not to be done in any way that you please, as many of those who do this unfortunately do it in any way, just like making the prayer in any way and giving the zakat in any way. They order the good and forbid the evil in any way. Sometimes, not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but for the sake of their desires. Sometimes you would find someone who orders others to do good so that he will be pointed at to be knowledgeable, for example. Sometimes one forbids someone from doing something wrong just because he hates this person and he wants to fulfill part of his feeling against him, so he orders him or he forbids him from doing something wrong. Yet when he finds someone else doing the same thing, he does not forbid him because he wants to have smooth relations with him. And this is of course contradictory to sincerity, because if you want to do something sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you must not make this differentiation. You must be sincere to Allah by giving the advice to all Muslims alike, and not specify some for some reason, because it is easier for yourself, because it makes it possible for you to have smoother relations, and so on. Now, when we speak about the causes of victory, of course, there are many more causes. All the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be taken in consideration, that to deserve the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should apply everything that Allah and His Messenger order us, as much as we can. We should not leave out anything of this religion. And besides the moral aspect of reasons, there is also the materialistic aspect of reasons. The Muslims are ordered to be strong in the face of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the strong believer is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the weak believer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what could mean, you must prepare all that you can scare the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must prepare all that you can, all which you can, anything that you can do, provided that this thing that you do is not against the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot steal something to make weapons out of it. You cannot take over some Muslim's country or place and claim that you want to defeat the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this that you have taken from your Muslim brother. this is not the way. Of course, you must prepare for the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way which is according to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, these are in general the causes of victory. Along with that, we must know the causes of defeat. And it might seem to be kind of repeated talk, because we talked in one topic before about the causes of afflictions, fitna. And when we talk about the causes of victory, we will repeat most of what we said before, but unfortunately this is what the brothers wanted me to talk about, the causes of victory and defeat. Now, the main cause of defeat is to associate any partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship or in His Lordship. Of course, as you know, that associating partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship was the kind of shirk that the pagans, the Arab pagans, had when they were making their idols to be steps between them and Allah, when they had those idols to be causes for bringing them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as they claimed. Now, nowadays we have a lot of this happening in the Muslim countries, unfortunately, in one way or another, making the pious individuals, as they call them, the awliya, whether they are alive or dead, they make them as steps between them and Allah. They call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through them. And this is the same shirk that the Arabs had. Also, we have beliefs which are shirk, such as believing that someone can benefit you or harm you, or someone owns to benefit or harm in a way that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do. And the forms of shirk are so much that are happening in the Muslim countries. So we have to be aware of those forms of shirk and make others aware, because this is one of the greatest areas of ordering the good and forbidding the evil. Also, the rejection of the right faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or His angels, or His books, or His messengers, or the hereafter, or the divine decree. This kind of rejection of faith is one of the greatest causes of defeat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not support us if we fall in any of forms of rejection of the faith, one way or another. Amongst the things which are considered to be rejection of faith is to deny anything from Islam, whether it is from the pillars of Islam or from any legal aspects of Islam, anything that is from Quran or Sunnah. If someone denies it, he is actually falling into rejection of faith, provided that this thing is not something which is mostly unknown by Muslims. I'm talking about the known things which every Muslim knows that is haram. For example, to drink something intoxicating, or to sell it or buy it. This is something which is known to be haram. So if someone comes and says there is nothing wrong with selling or buying or drinking a little, then he is actually denying something which is known by Muslims. Or denying the usury, the riba, to be haram. And so on. Also, amongst the things which are considered to be rejection of faith, to mock the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make fun of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make fun of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kufr, is great kufr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have described some people who were faithful in the beginning, but because they have made fun of some of the companions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have described them to be kafirs. And he said about them, you should not apologize. You have committed kufr after you have been faithful. So this is very dangerous. A lot of people amongst those who claim Islam, yet they dare to make fun not only about the believers, but some of them dare to make fun one way or another about some of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or some of the Quran. Some of them even dare to make jokes about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and about the Messenger, and those are not Muslims at all. They are more kafirs than the Christians and Jews. Not all the Christians dare to make fun about the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As a matter of fact, most of the Christians in general that we have heard of say statements of respect for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very few who are crooked minded who dare to write something which is weird about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam openly. Of course their books are full of statements which might lead to bad meanings or some indirect an insult to Islam, but you find very rarely in the books even of Jews you find very rarely someone who is openly cussing at the Messenger or saying something bad about Allah or the Messenger or Quran. So how about if someone who claims to be a Muslim does this? Then how do you consider him to be a Muslim? He cannot be a Muslim. Anyone who dares to make fun of anything of this religion, no matter how minor he thinks it is, then he is not a Muslim if he knows that this is part of this religion. Also, to say bad words, to cuss at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or his religion or his messenger, this is kufr. Or to say something which can be understood to be a deficiency in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is also kufr. To say something which leads to this belief that this religion is not up to date or is deficient in some way or another, then this is kufr also. Also, to cuss at any messenger is kufr, is regarded to be rejection of the faith in Islam. To say any bad thing about any messenger is considered to be rejection of the faith in Islam. Amongst the things which are widely popular amongst in the Muslim countries, this thing is considered to be very dangerous indeed, is to rule with other than the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it clear that any rule but his rule is jahiliyyah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَ حُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ. Do they want the ruling of jahiliyyah? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about the rule, he classified all the rules which are different from the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be rule of jahiliyyah. No other choice. No matter where this rule comes from, even if it comes from a Muslim scholar, alif, it doesn't matter. If it is against the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it is rule of jahiliyyah, and it is considered to be ruling with other than what Allah has revealed. The scholar might be excused. He is subject to making mistakes. He is making his ijtihad if he is a scholar. So he might be rewarded for his ijtihad. But if you knowingly follow this wrong ijtihad, then you are ruling with other than the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will be doing the same thing that the Jews have done when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them that they made their scholars lords with Allah. They took their rabbis and monks to be lords with Allah. When they followed them in making the haram halal and making the halal haram, they accepted the rulings of their scholars, knowing that those rulings are against the rule of Allah and his messenger. So this is very dangerous. So when we speak about ruling with other than the rule of Allah, we don't only mean some few persons who are sitting at the top of the people, the rulers, the emirs or whatever. We don't mean those only. Of course they are meant in the first place, but we are meant, every one of us is meant, every individual is meant, because this verse is general. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, anyone who rules with other than the rule of Allah, then they are kafirs. So this applies to me, you, and everyone. So when you rule with other than the rule of Allah, for yourself, or for your wife, or for your children, then you have fallen into this verse. So everyone must be aware of this fact. And also, this verse says that you must rule with the rule of Allah. What is the rule of Allah? What has been revealed from Allah is the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are both to be considered the rule of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to his messenger, we have sent down to you the book and the hikmah, the wisdom. This wisdom has been translated by many scholars to be the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there is a true narration about Hassan ibn Atiyah. He says that Jibreel was coming down to the Prophet with the sunnah, just like he was coming down with the Quran, and that he was teaching him the sunnah just like he was teaching him the Quran. Of course, because when Jibreel comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the verse which orders to give the zakat for the camels, for example, there is no limit here, no specifications. How many camels should we give? What is the minimum that one should have so that he gives the zakat? And so on. So when Jibreel comes down with this verse, he also comes down with the sunnah specifying how to give the zakat, how many camels, and so on. This is just an example. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to establish the prayer, establish the prayer, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also reveals down to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the sunnah, which shows how to establish the prayer. What are the colors? What are the conditions? What are the duties? Which comes first, ruku' or sujood? What should we say when we are standing? What should we say when we are in ruku' and sujood? So you cannot separate from Quran from sunnah. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have left two things amongst you that if you stick with, you will never go astray: the book of Allah and my sunnah. And then he said, they will never separate until the day of judgment. So if you separate and you say, well, I follow the Quran, then you are contradicting your faith and you are going against the teachings of Islam, because there is no separation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have been given the book and an equal to it with it, which is the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when we speak about the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we mean the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, both, and both equally. And anyone who denies a clear sunnah is not a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى. He who opposes to the Messenger after the guidance has been shown to him, then he is going to be left without support from Allah and he will be facing severe punishment. And the Imam Shafi'i, a great scholar, who said in the view of this verse, said that all the Muslims agree that if a sunnah is clarified for you, then you have no right to follow anyone, whoever he might be. You have no right to follow someone if the sunnah has been cleared for you. And this is the agreement of the Muslims. One of the causes of defeat which so many Muslims nowadays have been actually falling into, whether knowingly or unknowingly, is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is a great disease, as you know. Hypocrisy could mean kufr itself, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the hypocrites are in the lower part of hellfire and you will find no supporter for them. So being in the lower part of hellfire means not only that they are kafirs, but means that they are the worst of kafirs. So hypocrisy is a very dangerous disease that we must know and must be aware of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mentioned many descriptions about hypocrites in his book, to know them and to be aware of them. In the first surah after the opening of the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the believers in 5 verses. And then he described those who clearly disbelieve in 2 verses. Then he has described the hypocrites in 13 verses, showing their great danger. And this is something that we must fear. Everyone should fear hypocrisy. No one should say, I am free of it. I have nothing of hypocrisy in me. I am straight, I am a believer, and so on. No. Even some of the companions were fearing some sort of hypocrisy. Therefore, the believer, the true believer, must fear the characteristics of hypocrisy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said about the hypocrites that there are some people who say, meaning by tongue, only by tongue, say that we believe in Allah and the Day of Judgment, and yet they are not believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in their heart. So no matter what they say by their tongue, Allah knows what's hidden. So He says that they claim faith in Allah and the Hereafter, but they are not faithful. They try to cheat Allah because they cannot cheat Allah, but they think that they are cheating Allah. And those who believe, they try to cheat Allah and to cheat those who believe, yet they are not cheating anyone but themselves, not knowing. They cheat themselves not knowing. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the disease in their heart. He says there is a disease in their heart. This disease is the doubt. The doubt that is in their heart. The doubt about Allah, about the Hereafter, about the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the book of Allah, about the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them also that when they are ordered not to make corruption on earth, they say, we are doing good. We are not making any corruption. We are doing good. And also when they are told, you must have the faith that those people have, meaning the companions at their time. The right faith, the faith that Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and the rest of the companions have. They say, how could we have the faith of those who are short in thinking, or those who do not have the right thinking, meaning the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Then, when they meet with the kafirs like them, they openly tell them that we are with you. We believe that socialism is the best way for economy. Okay? So they say this when they are with socialists. When they are with someone else, capitalist or whatever, they say we believe that your system is the best. Okay? Islam is a religion which is only good for worshipping Allah. It doesn't have any rulings regarding economy, regarding politics, regarding what have you, parts of life. So this is what they say. Okay? Now, this is hypocrisy. Islam does not accept it. Islam this name Islam cannot be given to someone who has this character. Islam must be taken all in all. Otherwise, you will not be a Muslim if you take some and leave some. If you think that Islam is a religion for the soul, or it is just a religion which is bound to the masjid and to some other aspect of worship, but when it comes to something else, then we have our own choice. We can choose. Okay? And of course, anyone who thinks so is not a Muslim. Is not a Muslim. Even though he establishes some of Islam, but he will not be a Muslim unless he accepts all of Islam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have ordered in his book by saying, أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً. You must enter Islam all. I mean all of Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have described the Jews, some Jews, to be kafir when they applied their book in some matters, and when it came to other matters, they said, they disregarded their book. you see, the Arabs at the time of Jahiliyyah were fighting each other. Like in Medina, there were two Arab tribes, Aus and Khazraj, who later became Ansar when they became Muslims. But in the time of Jahiliyyah, they were fighting each other. And the Jews who were in Medina were actually starting those fights. Okay. And then they were taking sides. Some of them would give support to the Aus, and some of them would give support to the Khazraj. And this is, the situation would be that Jews fight Jews, because this is on this side and this is on that side. They would fight each other, kill each other, and this is against their book. Now, when the battle is over, they would exchange hostages. Okay? They would exchange hostages and give some money to free this hostage, and they will accept this from each other according to this, to their book, because their book says that they can do this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, how could you be so contradictory? You take part of your book and you leave the other part. Actually, they are leaving the more important part. They are killing each other, and this is worse. So if we do this, then we are not Muslims also. If we take our religion and make it into parts, and take some part of it, or some parts of it, and leave other parts, then we are not Muslims. We have fallen into the same thing. Now, nifaq, which is hypocrisy, have many signs. We must know those signs, or some of them. The worst and the most clear is the doubt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the hypocrites that they have doubts in their hearts, and that they oscillate in their faith. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the hypocrites that when they are called to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger to be a judge amongst them, you will find the hypocrites run away from you. Run away from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they have doubts in their hearts about the truthfulness of what Allah says and His Messenger. Also, another description of the hypocrites is that they hate the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. To hate any ruling from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if you forcibly accept to apply it, but you hate it, then you are not a Muslim. To hate any part of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes someone a hypocrite, kafir, not a Muslim. So the real Muslim, the Muslim actually, has no right to hate any part of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How could he hate the religion of the All-Wise, who does not order anything except for a wisdom? How could you hate something for a wisdom? This is a contradiction, that you say, I believe that Allah is the most wise, and yet I believe that this ruling is not the right ruling. This is a contradiction. Then how could you claim to be believing that Allah is the most wise? And another description of the hypocrites is that they, when Islam becomes, when Islam gains the upper hand, and the ruling of Islam becomes becomes victorious and is applied, you find the hypocrites to be in a miserable mood, and they hate this situation when Islam has the upper hand, and when the ruling of Allah is uppermost, you would find them unpleased, unsatisfied. You would find them sorry, in a bad mood. This is the description of a hypocrite. And similarly, when Islam becomes weak, and when the rulings of Islam are removed from application, you would find them happy, and you would find them in a way which shows that they are really in a good mood and pleased. So this is hypocrisy. Also, to seek the weakness of the Muslims by splitting their words and splitting the Muslims into parts, to say something which leads to splitting the Muslims, to do something which leads to splitting the Muslims, This is the description of the hypocrites. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions that if the hypocrites were to go with you, they would do nothing but increase your sorrow and increase, and they would plan to differentiate amongst you, to separate you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have warned us against the hypocrites that they have this character. Also amongst the characters of the hypocrites that they love the enemies of Allah. They love the enemies of Islam. They love those who worship the cross. They love the Jews. They love the who worship the saints. They love those who are against the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, there is no believer who has the right to have any love for those who oppose Allah. And there is no greater opposition to Allah than kufr and shirk. So if someone is a kafir, is not a Muslim, you have no right to love him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't you see those who take friends, such people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have been angry with? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about those hypocrites who do such a thing, they are not part of you and you are not part of them. And they swear on their lies. They lie and swear. And they do this knowingly. This is also a description of the hypocrites. Also, one description of the hypocrites is that they make fun of the believers in their worships and in their beliefs. When they see someone who gives charity, they make fun of him. If he gives a little bit, because that's all he has, they say, look, what is he giving? Allah has no need of what he gives. Okay. And when he gives something which is great, too much, they say, look, he is doing this for show off. You know. And they make fun of the believers. When they see them fast, they say bad things about. When they see them break their fast, they say bad things about. When they see them pray, they say bad things about them. And so on. This is the description of hypocrites. And also, one of their descriptions is that prayer to them is so heavy. They don't stand up for prayers except in a bad mood and in a way that shows their hatred for it. And this is one of the descriptions of the hypocrites. The Prophet ﷺ said, the most heavy prayers on the hypocrites are the prayers of Isha and Fajr. Isha, night prayer, and Fajr, dawn prayer. Also, one of the descriptions of the hypocrites. These are some of the descriptions of the hypocrites that we must fear. There are smaller descriptions, which are not small in themselves, but they are small compared to those things that we mentioned, such as lying, such as breaking the oath, such as not fulfilling the trust. These are also descriptions of the hypocrites that we must avoid. And unfortunately, the Muslims, as if they have made it for themselves to be a way of life. To lie when they like, and to cheat when they like, and to break the promise when they like. And this is actually the description of the hypocrites, and not the faithful. So these are some of the causes of defeat. Of course, these causes can be classified to be at the top. There are other causes. Any sin that we do is a cause of defeat. We must remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have caused the Muslims in the battle of Uhud to be defeated because they disobeyed one order of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were tempted, and they didn't do this because they didn't want to follow the Messenger. No, they were tempted by the glory of the money and the wealth that was left out by the mushrik. So they came down from their positions despite the order from their leader. And due to their sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have defeated them in that battle. So this is a lesson for them and for us, because they were the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or some of them who did this. And they are the most faithful, and they are most beloved to Allah after the messengers and the prophets. They are the most beloved people to Allah, and yet he made them be defeated, so that they learn from this lesson, and so that we learn from this lesson. So So we will not be more dearer to Allah than them. If they sin and they get defeated, then if we sin, we get defeated. Of course, the Muslims nowadays do so many sins and so many innovations. Each one of them could be a cause of defeat. And one of the causes of defeat is also to rule out the worldly reasons. The Muslims must not rule out the worldly reasons, the worldly causes. They should be strong. They should not say that we can only depend on such and such country for our weapons, for our fighting. No, the Muslims should be independent from Kafirs. This is the best for their faith. It is a must on Muslims not to seek any support from Kafirs. Therefore, the Muslims should do their best not to seek support from Kafirs as much as they can, except in the situations of necessity, where they have no other way but to do this. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us victory and to lead us to the causes of victory. صلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.